Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, December the 26th, 2025, 12-26-25. There's some lotto numbers for you. 10 coming up on 11 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Pastor Craig back with us today on a visit from Arkansas for the holiday season. I got it right, didn't I? I didn't say Alabama, did I?
No, it's right. It's yeah, Arkansas. Yeah, you got it right. You got it right.
I don't know what it is about the A's down there. Alabama, Arkansas. No. Is there really much difference?
No.
No. Same place. Yeah. Same place. Yeah. Step one is Roll Tide.
That's right. That's Alabama.
That's Alabama.
That's those other ones.
That's
and,
Alabama.
We're the Razorbacks.
The Razorbacks.
Woo Pig.
Woo Pig.
Yeah, that's
wow.
What a thing.
Woo Pig.
I don't get it, but you know.
People yell Woo Pig.
Well, I don't. You see it written everywhere.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Woo Pig.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
you like that, Matt?
Well, I mean, it's.
Is your mic on? Go ahead.
All right. Well.
Are you still not on? What in the world? Okay, go ahead.
There
you go.
Look at that.
You know what it is? I've got every mic turned up, even though there are only three of us here, so it's throwing me off. Because Pastor Craig's got two mics on him. He's doing a press conference over there.
Well, no, I'm
totally thrown off.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it makes sense, I suppose, to some extent. I mean, you know, like the Razorbacks. You know, like Razorback, like the
Woo Pig.
Yeah, like the
Razorback Pig.
Yeah, like the Razorback Pig.
Okay. Doesn't make much sense to me, but whatever.
I don't know. I mean, it's not the greatest. I mean, I'm sure you could find something that sounds maybe better, but you know, it's not bad, I guess.
I do want to let people know that tonight the 8 to 10 show is going to be something people really want to tune into, because we've got a special guest tonight that's going to be very big. I don't think ever has been on the never has been on the Friday night show. I don't think ever has been in this studio and has not been on this station in probably at least a decade.
Wow.
So tonight, 8 to 10.
Okay. I got to listen to that.
You got to listen to that. It's
for
me.
For a minute, I thought you were talking about me, and I'm like, I didn't tell
you. No,
you come by Friday night.
No. I think this is going to be a big. It's going to be a big show tonight. Big show tonight.
That's why I thought it was me.
Oh. Well, you come in tonight if you like. We always make room for people. It's going to be a big show tonight. You don't want to miss. And what's coming up on your show tonight, Matt, at 10?
Well, tonight we're going to talk about. Well, there were Christmas games, so I wanted to talk about those, and you know, just general talk about the football.
All right. Now, one thing I want to talk about before we get into some of the local current events here with Pastor Craig, because you've stayed, you're in the loop, right?
I'm in the loop.
You're in the loop. Here's what I did yesterday at one point. Once I got all the festivities out of the way, a lot of mine take place on Christmas Eve, I realized that on Sunday, I had been given two live wreaths. You know, very nice decorated. One was red, one was black. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with these things? It's very close to the Christmas holiday, and you can't keep them, obviously, year to year. So what am I going to? I don't want to give them to somebody. It's this late in the season. So I thought, I'll take them to the cemetery, see, and put them on the dead relatives' graves. I thought that'll be nice. You know, they would appreciate that. So I was busy Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day, I thought there's still hope. I've got these two live wreaths in my trunk. So I will, when I'm free on Christmas Day, I will go to the cemetery and I will put the wreaths on the deceased relatives' graves, and all will be, they will, from up above, they will be Merry Christmas, and it'll be a wonderful thing. And here's what happened. So I forgot that it gets dark at 5 o'clock. Okay, so here it's sun is going down as I hold on. Still here, caller, hang with me, caller, for a second. As the sun is going down, I'm rushing to the cemetery, about to run out of gas. And the cemetery I'm going to is not in Marion City. So I'm rushing to the cemetery. You know, not many gas stations opened up yesterday. So I'm rushing to the cemetery. I get there. It is dark. It's not pitch dark, but it's sun's going. I mean, it's dark. So I pull. There's nobody in this cemetery. I pull into the cemetery. I find the graves, and like maybe 20 feet from me, there's this big white pickup with the lights on. And I can't see who's in it because it's dark. But I thought, I will not be deterred. It's Christmas Day. I'm going to put these wreaths on the deceased relatives' tombstones and get this done. So I get out, and I'm kind of paying attention to this truck because I'm thinking I might end up in this cemetery very soon because he, you know, whatever's going to go on over there, he could kill me. So I get out of there, and what better day to go than Christmas Day? So I pull the trunk open, and I go to grab the wreath, and I forget that these live wreaths have been in the car for 4 days. No water or sunlight has hit them, and I grab I get a splinter in my finger as I grab a hold of the wooden wreath. And now I'm in pain in the cemetery. So I pull out the wreath, and I take it over, and I put it on the dead relative. There you go. And then I take it over to the other dead relative. And you know, I'm having a conversation with him at this point about the splinter in my finger. And, you know, Merry Christmas and all that. And then the truck drives off, and I drive out of the cemetery with no gas and a splinter in my finger. In the darkness, I go out under a cloud of darkness in the cemetery on Christmas, but my dead relatives have wreaths this morning on their graves. I'm sure everybody will be impressed in that cemetery.
There you go. The lengths that you went to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought that's a great holiday story.
There you go.
What you think? Go ahead, caller.
Well, I've got something for Pastor Craig. Will you hold on just a minute, Pastor? Can you hear okay?
Well, I can hear okay.
Well, this is for you. Welcome back to Ohio.
Thank
hold
you.
On.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding and a cup of good cheer. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring some right here. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, thank you very much.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Thank you. That's great.
Very nice.
And I'll listen to the show from here on out. And Pastor Craig, you're really enjoying yourself. I know that the sound of your voice, that you've made connections down there in Arkansas, and good luck to you from here on out. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really appreciate
uh-huh.
that.
Well, that was very nice.
It was.
Very, very nice. I know, whose voice was that? Do you know whose voice that was? Was that
singing?
Yeah.
No, not a clue.
Not a clue.
Usually it's like a Burl Ives or a Bing Crosby.
It was nice. It was really
very,
nice.
Very, very nice. Yeah, yes, I agree. Really it was very, very nice. And so what do you make of the holiday wreath cemetery story?
You know, it I mean,
I got the splinter out.
I could just picture, you know, in the dark, and you're trying to reach out, and you know, it's gonna happen.
You're gonna have a story. But don't you think that doing that is the proper thing to do?
Absolutely.
Yes,
so,
I think the dead relatives would appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely, they would. I got to tell you a story.
Go ahead.
So, I packed up everything. I got a rental car, and. I'm at the rental place, and it's taking me longer than I thought because it's been so long since I've rented a car that there's all these new things you got to do to rent a car, and so I was there much longer than I thought. And while I'm at Enterprise, my son calls me, and he says, "Dad, we got a problem." Well, I had made arrangements when I told my son that I was coming here for Christmas 2 months ago. He said, "Oh, well, you can just stay in our camper if you'd like." And so I thought, okay, great. So I'm going to be staying in their camper the whole time. So he calls me. I'm at Enterprise. He says, "Dad, we got a problem." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, I don't think Angel and I," that's his wife, Angel, "I don't think Angel and I completely communicated very well, and we're kind of double booked the camper." So his brother, my other son, and his wife and their one son were coming over from Indiana. So they were all going to spend Christmas together. And so his wife had told the brother that, "Oh, you guys can stay in the camper." So now we got all these people that are staying in a camper, and it's not big enough for all they. So anyway, he says they're gonna be here Wednesday night and Thursday night, and then the rest of the time you can have the camper. But I got kind of didn't know that she had promised it. So I'm driving up here, and so I'm making other arrangements for Wednesday and Thursday night. So I got other arrangements, got that all worked out, and it actually worked out really good because I stayed in Delaware last night, so I was close to the studio here and everything. But I'm about 100 miles into my trip. I'm well into Missouri. I'm 100 miles from into it, and I suddenly realized that I had laid out at the front door all my carrying bag and, you know, my gifts and everything, and I'd loaded the car, and all my hang-up clothes, which was all my shirts and jackets and everything, which I had hanging up, I had set them on my recliner, and I'm up, and I'm looking around, and I have no hang-up clothes. The only shirts and jackets and anything that I had was the shirt and the sweatshirt that I was wearing. And other than that, I had like nothing to wear above the waist. So
you had to go to the shopping.
So, and for a split second, I thought, well, I'll just turn around at the next exit and go back. And then I realized I'm already 100 miles into this trip. So I picked up a shirt at a store locally, and I got a couple of gifts, you know, that were shirts, and I had another gift that was a real nice shirt, like what's similar to what Scott's wearing. So I'm gonna make it through, but I only thought of that because of your cemetery story. You know, no good deed goes unpunished.
That's true. Well, so what you're saying is you were gonna come in here in shirt and tie, but you left it.
Yeah,
back in Arkansas.
I was good. Well, I had to look official for this press conference.
This press conference, but no shirt and tie because
no
of the solstice.
No shirt and tie. That's right.
So Matt, do you have any anecdotes from the holiday season? Did you stay at an inn?
No, actually, I stayed at a couple from the church.
Oh, took you in.
They took me in.
It's just like the Christmas story.
It's just like the Christmas
story. On Christmas Eve, you were taken in.
I was taken in.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, I don't know that I have any. I didn't really do much. I mean, I went to the Barnes & Noble for the first time. Spent like an hour and a half at the Barnes & Noble. That's pretty cool. Barnes & Noble is neat.
Like, that's a new thing. Like, oh, man, this Barnes & Noble. Where have they been hiding that?
Yeah, I've never been into it. Look, I've been into a Barnes & Noble now twice, okay?
Listen, here. Wait.
They're pretty cool.
Wait till you can take Reeves out to your dead relatives on holiday.
I usually just buy books on Amazon.
Well, I asked Matt in hour number one, what are the big stories in Marion of 2025 as we get ready to smash it out here? What do you think?
The big stories in Marion.
Yeah.
Definitely the financial crisis.
Yeah, that's
got to
be one.
And related to kind of that is the all the politics that's going on. I mean, we're seeing there's going to be changes, major changes to city council. The mayor certainly hasn't been short on controversy, and part of that ties into the financial problem. So, I mean, to me, that seems like the number one story in Marion. Now, close second has got to be this whole water thing that's come about in the last month.
See, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. So is it a big deal about nothing?
Well, let's go to that in a second. But I would say the other stories that pop up on my radar are the continuing Ratliff story.
Right.
Which that continued. You know, the charges were dropped, and then a lawsuit was filed by Ratliff, and then charges were refiled. So that went on. It's still going on as far as I know. So that's a big story. And I also think Detweiler over at the Palace getting fired for appearing in the documentary was a pretty localized big story. The water thing, oh man. Here's the thing. Did something happen to the water? Well, of course it did. And did Aqua admit it? Yes, they did, right off the bat. But I guess what the thing is, okay, now here we are, not even 2 weeks later, 2 weeks on Sunday. What's wrong with the water now? You know, I guess for all these people who said, you know, it was Flint, Michigan, and all these people were poisoned, and everything was awful, where are the reports of people going to the hospital?
Okay.
Where are the dead? Where are the lawsuits? Why is the water not still tainted? I mean, I don't think Flint, Michigan was a week and a half story.
That's true.
So, I think that was a very strong case of shoddy reporting that panicked a lot of people, unfortunately. And I don't know what the... And as I said, if you didn't want to drink the water during that time, I didn't drink the water because it smelled bad and it tasted bad. Why would you drink that? I don't understand that. But to insinuate without any evidence that something was wrong with the water, I thought that was very inappropriate.
Okay. Yeah, no, I got the impression that it was a big deal, and that kind of goes to your, you know, shoddy reporting.
Well, I think people made it a big deal. Made it a big deal, but did you ever see one bit of evidence that proved that something was wrong?
Well, yeah, they weren't turning people away from the hospital.
No.
They'd been poisoned.
No, and as near as I can tell, no lawsuits have been filed because of it. And here we are a week later, every restaurant's back open using the water. Everybody's back to same old thing. So I don't know where is the evidence? Where is the issue? And it's not like Aqua went silent during that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were taking customer complaints. They were issuing press releases. They were telling you what was going on. Now, again, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe what Aqua says. But what is your evidence that they're wrong? That's all.
Yeah. So you said the water smelled funny.
It did.
Tasted funny.
It did.
Did you get odor and bad taste before you heard anything, or were you starting to hear things about it and yes, you noticed it?
No, I heard about it, and then all of a sudden I think it was the next day.
Okay.
was when I noticed that where I lived, I never noticed it at all, but when you were here locally, you could notice it.
Yeah
But it was here we are, it was a very short story. You don't hear anything about it now.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, so probably next week everybody will have forgotten.
Yeah, but I, you know, it's sad for that week that they scared people into a, they whipped them up into a frenzy for what, you know, and that's, I don't understand that. So Matt, what'd you make of the water story? You lived it.
Well, I mean, I think you put it about accurately. I mean, Aqua was, you know, making statements the entire time, and honestly, I didn't hear anybody complain about the water or anything like that up until I think it was Ayers Ratliff made a statement on Facebook that said that he had gotten word from Aqua that, you know, they had gotten complaints about bad taste and bad smell in the water, and then all of a sudden it was like the waterworks opened, and then, you know, all of a sudden everybody was complaining about the water.
Well, it's just, listen, yes, bad things have happened to the water supply in other places, but you've got to have some kind of evidence of things like that before you're going to send that out to people. Why would you do that?
Right.
And do they ever come back and say, we were wrong, we were wrong? Nobody ever does that,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I've always said I am not a fan of conspiracy theories on the whole, because you never have to admit you're wrong, because a conspiracy theory is just a theory. You can't prove it's right, but you don't have to admit you're wrong, because you apparently never stated it as fact.
Right.
So there you are.
Yeah. So the biggest story in Marion this year has been the financial crisis.
I would say. I don't know how it couldn't be. Yeah. I mean, that was a stark moment at the end of the year. When did that come out? October, I think.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was a sad moment. So what do you chalk that up to?
I think it was just kind of lack of, you know, proper control, and maybe even a fear of being honest what the financial situation was. You know, I can't believe that they didn't know there was this looming financial crisis, and I think maybe it was a fear to admit that in it early enough.
Where do you think it all starts? Because that's been a long-standing question. Did it start with Mayor Schertzer? Did it start with Miranda McGinnis? Did it start with 20 years ago? You know, everybody's got a different take on this.
Yeah, I don't think it started with Mayor Schertzer. Now, I could be totally wrong, totally fooled, but I really don't. I just believe that. I mean, I think Mayor Schertzer was a straight shooter, and I really do think if there were really signs of, you know, this being on the near horizon, I really think he would have been a little more open about it. So I don't think the blame is there. I think it probably, man, I'm going to take heat for this. I think it probably had its roots in McGinnis's office, but prior to her being there. I think that was the beginning of the problem. You're looking at me like...
Well, no, I mean, what was going on prior to McGinnis being in office? I know. Go ahead.
Her predecessor.
Why do you think? Because, I mean, obviously we're not saying the name, because that person tends to have a very thin skin.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
I think at, by nature he has a thin skin, and I think it's magnified by the fact that I don't think he really knew what was going on. I think it goes back to, I think he was in over his head, and he just didn't have the skill set to do that. And I think, you know, okay, so they had this computer system that, you know, now we know that this software was bad and the software was whatever causing problems. And I think, and the software was there before him. So if it's truly a software problem, then it probably, the financial problems do probably have a, you know, were beginning before he was there, but I don't think he recognized it. And I think he didn't, if he did, he didn't want to admit it. And I think you could probably trace a lot of their financial problems to the software problems or the people who running it weren't recognizing the problems and weren't recognizing the disaster they were headed to.
Well, okay, you have an interesting position in this because you were with the station when this was all going right. down back right. in 2021.
Right.
So you were very much a part of that news cycle.
Right.
Why do you feel that it started there? And what things do you remember from that time that would be emblematic of a problem?
Well, right away, the one thing I remember is sending a tax payment to the wrong taxing authority. I mean, yeah, you can make a mistake, but that's a big mistake that you really shouldn't make. You have certain checks and balances, whatever, checks to prevent that kind of mistake from happening. I mean, you know, you can miscode certain expenses and those kinds of errors that can happen. But this was a big thing, and it wasn't handled correctly after the fact, and it just kind of snowballed. You had the situation with, I don't know what they were, like gift cards or...
Oh, yeah, the credit card payment, bought the gift cards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those kinds of things, it just, they can't happen. I mean, they happen because you don't have tight control over the situation. You have loose control or no control.
So what do you make of the reemergence of that person in 2025 after 4 years and this thin-skinned nature that they tend to have?
Yeah, I think it's a mistake on his part to reemerge and be as vocal as he is and still have the same thin skin.
You know what's interesting to me about that whole situation? Because he was in here. He did his first interview back with me. And I found him fine. As I've said, he was nice to me in the studio. What's odd to me about that whole thing is that I cannot understand... What it happened, it's over. Mm-hmm. So this still bothers him this many years later. I can't think of anything that I mean, it's not like people are people throwing it in his face. I mean, I guess I don't understand that.
No, the only time I feel that it's brought up, or it maybe, you know, no, there aren't people throwing it in his face, but maybe it's brought up. But that's because he is so vocal about his situation and him being vindicated that it's going to be brought up.
What do you make of it, Matt? Where do you think the financial problem started, and what do you make about this whole situation?
Well, I mean, I'd have to agree with Pastor Craig. I mean, I think that it started with the auditor's office, and I don't think that that particular person had the skill set necessary to run the auditor's office.
Well, here's something I don't understand. And we're talking about the thin-skinned nature of that person. Okay, again, much like with the water, you get the news, which is the best version of the truth you have at that point. That's what you report. If down the line you find that you are wrong, you come back and report you were wrong. This is not what happened. We've learned things since then. That's what I can't understand. His group's, because I assume there's more than one person there, his group's retaliation to things they don't like to hear seems to be personal. It's not, we don't like what you said, it's we don't like you. And what does that say? Okay, good. You attack somebody personally, good for you. I think that really is emblematic of the nature of the type of person you are. Mm-hmm. And you know what's sad about it? Is I would never have said that about this person when he was in here in the studio. I thought it was a very big thing after 4 or 5 years or whatever it was after the resignation for him to come in here. There were no questions that were off the record. No questions that he said he wouldn't answer. He did a straight 2-hour interview. I thought he did a good interview. And then to behave like this afterward, that is just so disappointing, because I thought he did himself a lot of good after that whole mess, mm-hmm. by saying, you know, I did some things wrong. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd have done them differently. Mm-hmm. I was not qualified. He said that in the interview this year. I was not qualified for that job. But then how do you turn around and then do all this smoke and mirrors stuff? I don't understand. No, I don't know what happened.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I was actually impressed when he said that.
Yes.
When he said that, because that's kind of what I had been maintaining all along prior, is that he just wasn't qualified for it. I mean, I don't think I ever, you know, said he wasn't intelligent enough or, you know, whatever. He was political. I just always felt that he wasn't qualified to do the job. It'd be like me being the director of the building of the next space shuttle. I mean, I'm not qualified to do that. And I thought very highly of him for saying that. But then, you know, soon after the fact, he does a complete turnaround, and he's, you know, throwing accusations and slinging mud, and it did a lot of harm, that his behavior after that interview.
Well, and I think now, unfortunately, that's what people are going to remember. See, here's the problem when a news story of that magnitude happens, his resignation and the beginning of the city's financial problems. You can scream vindication from the top of the mountains, and you could even be vindicated. I don't think we've seen that yet, but you could be. But there's always going to be a group of people who are always going to believe you were wrong because of the coverage that got at that time. You just don't rub that off. You know, it just doesn't go away. So you're never going to convince all those people. So that being said, now you want to put that you were negative to people. You were personally attacking people. You want to put that on your record as well? Okay. I mean, I guess. I don't know that this is the legacy you want.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, and again, it's just an interesting personality, I guess.
Let me throw a name out there.
You go ahead.
Marvin Watts.
Yeah.
He was the assistant.
Deputy.
Yeah, deputy.
Deputy auditor.
And he kind of was in charge in that interim there when one was gone Now, this is a guy, if you ever wanted to develop a conspiracy theory, this is a guy who was there from the beginning all the way through the transition. This is the guy, in my mind, that should have known the most about what was going on. I would think would have been in the best position to recognize any errors or mistakes. He was kind of running it for a while. probably had the ability to maybe help the incoming McGinnis, you know, help sort out the problems, and yet it seemed like he was this guy that was there. He probably knew more than anybody else, and yet I don't know. It's like he was there, but he wasn't there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because nobody's fired him.
Right.
He still got the job.
That's the part I can't figure out.
And he could be fired. I mean, either auditor could have fired him.
Well,
that's the part I can't figure out.
Didn't Miranda fire him when she got into office?
For a few days.
And then rehired him?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's there.
He isn't there. Yeah, he's there.
Well, then somebody else from the auditor's office now is the budget director.
That's... You know, I
got a promotion.
I still can't make heads or tails of that one. How can you spend, you know, like it for a long time? It was like they were taking out like 30 minutes at every city council meeting to beat the auditor over the head, and then you're going to promote the internal auditor?
Yeah,
yeah,
Chelsea.
Yep. So I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
She can chew gum. She can. She can chew gum.
She does chew a lot of gum, yes.
Yes, she does.
While she's walking. She can walk.
She can do that, but she at those council meetings. I've never seen anybody chew gum like that at a council meeting. I'm sorry to point that out, but when you're sitting in the front row of the gallery over there, it's very noticeable.
Oh, my.
Very, very noticeable. But, you know, she's a nice lady, I guess.
So where do we go from here? In 2026, is Marion's situation going to be worse at the end of 2026, or you know, are they going to make a turnaround? I mean,
it'll be a rough year.
Well,
I mean, are the floodgates going to get closed and people pulling the reins back? Or I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think
the state's going to do that for them.
Yeah, I think it'll be a rough year, but yeah, I mean, the state has they put them on what, fiscal watch? Yeah, put them on fiscal watch, and you know, so they have to give submit a financial recovery plan to the state, and if the state doesn't like that, then the state's going to get it a little more, you know, hands-on and make their own plan for Marion, I guess.
By the way, if anybody's got anything they'd like to say in regard to this, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting year. It's certainly going to be that. They've got a budget that's pulled way back because of these financial issues, and downtown Marion has lost its funding. Economic development has lost its funding, cuts to a lot of departments, 10% cuts, possibly more in some departments. So that's going to be felt this year.
Night moves.
Well, that may be back, though, because on Monday they voted to put that back in the budget. So I don't know. I don't know where that all goes. I do know that Monday was a very interesting meeting. For that reason, last meeting of the year, for last meeting for Ayers and Jason.
So I didn't hear, you and I had talked Saturday about whether or not they would make statements.
They did not.
Okay, because I had not heard, so I was going to ask you, did they?
Aaron Rollins thanked them for leading him around and teaching him things and things like that, but they did not personally say anything. Okay. But it looked a little emotional for them.
Okay.
But I don't think we've seen the last of Jason.
I don't think so. I would be surprised if we did.
Yeah. I can't imagine that would happen.
No.
But who knows? What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, as far as Jason goes, I mean, Jason was going to run for, I guess, charter commission, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
he's run for county commissioner twice in the past.
So, I mean, it wouldn't, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Jason's got something else he wants to do.
So here's a side question. So the issue of the charter, obviously it's been put to bed for now. Do you think that's going to come back up very soon, or do you think they're going to let that sit for 20 years?
They would have to with this current financial situation, plus the defeat. Hey, by the way, you're buddy's buddy with Tracy Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel? She's termed out. Who do you see taking her spot, Wesleyan Davis or Ben Weber?
Ben Weber.
Now, why Ben Weber?
I don't know. It's probably my answer is probably more personal.
than, oh, well, go ahead.
Than political, just because I just can't get behind Wesley Davis. And
why not?
Just because of some of the things that she said and some of the financial backing that she had previously, and I just that.
What did she say? See, I don't remember a lot of this.
Well, I remember, I'm talking about the time before when she
ran against Tracy.
Right, when she ran against Tracy, the time before. Just, it was implication, she was implying in her ads, let me see if how I, she was implying in her ads that, that Tracy was just like a Trump surrogate or something, and, you know, out of touch with what the people wanted. I can't remember some specific. I don't remember anything specific, but I just remember some things that.
Now, where did her money come from?
Out of state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A large portion of it came from out of state.
Now, how do you feel about Ben Weber?
So I haven't paid that much attention. I saw a little couple things on him, and I didn't see anything that caused me concern.
But you're just not a fan of Weslin.
Yeah, it's more that, yeah.
So what do you think, Matt?
Well, I think Ben's certainly been out and about more. I didn't see her out in public, but Ben, you know, personable guy. I mean, I would say, as far as who's going to win, I think that I would assume that Ben Weber's going to win that race.
Although Weslin is very vocal, she's very vocal on social media. She's very much out there talking about the people who've endorsed her, so on and so forth, things of that nature. I don't think Ben's as vocal that way.
Yeah, and now I had never heard of him before. Am I missing anything? I mean, does he?
No, he's very young.
Does he have? I mean, she's obviously in the district, got the name recognition because of previously, but he was a name that I never even heard of. Does he? I mean, does he have anything?
That I don't think so.
That he, you know, that he can fall back on. I mean, has he?
He's a lawyer.
He's
a lawyer. So he hasn't been around though, as far as.
Not to my knowledge.
As far as having a name in this area.
Right. Do you think hers is a good name?
Well, see, there again, it goes back to my personal feelings about her. I don't know how people in general, when they hear her name, if they have a good feeling or not. You know, obviously
I think she's made some critical errors in this particular race.
In this race.
Yeah. I in the beginning, she was on the program. Mm-hmm. I met with her. Personable person, very nice person, but I feel she's made some critical errors in the last few months. Now, it's not impossible in the next 5 months to still pull it off,
right. But
I felt she's made some very critical errors that I don't think she should have done. The person that I met back, when did I meet her? It had to be before the fair. So, like, April, May, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I found her okay when I met her, but the same person that came out toward the end of the year and some of the things that she did, I wonder now. You know, so we'll see.
Okay.
There we are. You met her, didn't you, Matt?
Yeah, once, I do believe.
And what was your take on her?
She's nice enough, I guess, yeah.
You listened to her interview on the station that night, election night.
Oh.
She was here primary night back in, this past year, 25.
I mean, I don't have anything, you know, bad to say about her. I mean, she just, I don't know. I mean, truth be told, neither of them really excite me in any particular way. So, I mean.
Is there a Democrat in that race?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know anybody at this point. Well, what do you make of the, let's talk about this, the gubernatorial race. Amy Acton? Vivek Ramaswamy?
You know what I'm going to say.
Well, the pastor loves Vivek Ramaswamy.
Absolutely.
Yes. How do you not love Vivek and Weslin? I thought they were of the same cloth.
I don't see them as of the same cloth.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, first of all, you know, Vivek makes a lot of sense. Now, this was back when back in the early presidential primary. I mean, I was a big Vivek supporter. I mean, even over Trump, you know, and the guy has, I mean, he's proven himself as far as his business skills, you know, his entrepreneur skills and his management skills. And, you know, he campaigned on a lot of good, solid, common sense thing. But my only thing about Vivek when he was running for president is I felt there was a certain amount of, he was a little bit naive maybe in, you know, all the things that you could do as a president and things like that. So I think it's actually very good that, because you know his ambitions are probably 2028 presidential, I would think. And so I think it's very good that, you know, he is doing this, you know, running for governor, and because I think he really wants to be governor, and I think he's going to be really good. Obviously I would be 100% supporter of Vivek versus Amy Acton.
What do you think, Matt?
I was hoping Tim Ryan would get into the race. Tim Ryan would have had my backing. I would have voted Tim Ryan in that race there. Not a fan of Vivek. I hate to say it, but I think he's just like a Trump light. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump either. Why would I vote for Trump light? And I'm not really a fan of Amy Acton either. Neither of them have any political experience. That was a big thing for me. I wanted somebody who actually had political experience. Neither of them do.
All I'm going to say is if people underestimate Amy Acton, I believe the Republicans in recent years have had, certainly Nan Whaley was an easy race for an incumbent Mike DeWine. Cordray was not, but the political climate was different in the country than it is now. And if they take Amy Acton lightly and say, oh, these polls are all wrong that show her in the lead, and the fact that Mike DeWine is defending her during the pandemic situation, and the fact that he won't outwardly endorse Vivek when the entire party has, if people will look at that and say that doesn't mean anything in Ohio and that's just wrong and the polls are wrong, I think they're making a big mistake. Now, either one of them could make a big mistake in the next 11 months, but I think neither one has to run a primary now, and lieutenant governor choices are going to be a big deal in this race. But I think if people discount her as this is a red state, this is a Republican state, and she's the lady from the pandemic, I think that's going to be a big, big mistake on the Republicans' behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing about, I think you referred to Trump light.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a person, you know, a lot of the policies that Trump has had over the years are not all that much different than the policies of, like, some of the previous presidents and some of the candidates. But because his personality is what it is, it overshadows whether or not you are for or against his policies. And I say that in the context of any Republican who had the same or mostly the same policies and wants to put them forward as Trump has done is automatically labeled a Trump surrogate or a Trump light or a MAGA individual.
When I called him Trump light, because when he ran for president against Donald Trump in the, you know, in the first time, yeah, in the primary, he straight up, when Donald Trump ran for president his first time, Vivek Ramaswamy stole a whole bunch of the, like, one-liners that Donald Trump did, like you know, about the donors are in the audience and that kind of thing. Like, he did that. He literally just stole a whole bunch of lines from Donald Trump. He just tried to do the Donald Trump strategy. I think he just thought, I could do it better than Donald Trump could do it, and he couldn't, because it's Trump. You're Trump light. Why would I have Trump light if I could have Trump?
Okay, I see what
you're saying. You can have Trump in Ohio.
Well, I understand, but yeah. I mean, I could have when it was in that election.
But now, let me say something else. This is the success of Vivek Ramaswamy. I remember when you couldn't even say the guy's name, and now it just rolls off your tongue. That's how successful he has become getting himself known.
Well, but not to be fair here, I got to say, anybody running for governor in Ohio, in the state we live in, I think you're going to learn their name. I would get, when Barack Obama first showed on the scene, I don't think people knew how to pronounce his name, but it came because he's running for president. I think that Nan Whaley, I think a lot of people mispronounced that in the beginning, but most people got it right by the end. I think that Renacci was also a name that people mispronounced.
Mom Donnie.
Mom, yeah, there you go. People
that's
still do
that
one.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
That's a hard
but,
one.
But it comes, I think when you're running for governor and you hear it so often, you eventually get it.
I'm glad to see Matt get it.
Yeah. So that means you're I don't know. I just listen, all I'm saying is that I think this is going to be a much closer race than people would think. I think it'll be closer than Whaley DeWine. I think it'll be closer than Cordray DeWine, and I think, again, I hate to say it, but I've said it, and people better pay attention. I'm gonna bring this up on election night, and I hate to, if I have to say I told you so, but the problem in Ohio, look at the maps. Democrats, even Nan Whaley, win big in Columbus, Franklin County. They win in Toledo. They win in Cincinnati. They win in Cleveland, the Cleveland area, and they run up the totals there. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans have to run up the totals in all of the rural counties. And Vivek Ramaswamy, who is not a white male, is not going to win Wyandotte County and Meigs County and Marion County by the totals that Mike DeWine or John Kasich did. That's just not going to happen. And if he can't do that, that's going to be a huge problem for him. And people who say that doesn't matter, I think they better figure it out.
Those seven counties in Ohio, you know, the Dayton, Toledo, yeah. Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
Akron.
I mean, where they run up the Democrat numbers. Yeah, that is a key. The other thing that I think is key is it's 11 months away. I can't remember in my lifetime where 11 months before the election, we knew who was going to be the Republican candidate. We knew who was going to be the Democrat candidate. I mean, maybe
Democrat. Is that thing again? Now, what is that?
What?
I don't understand. No, I don't get that. When people say Democrat, it's Democratic, okay, because we wouldn't say the Republic
that's
candidate.
Right. That's right.
See, I don't know what that means. I don't know. I really don't. What do we seriously?
Democratic candidate.
No, but what does Democrat mean? I mean, is that a knock? I mean, I truly don't know. Is that a knock on the Democratic Party?
I don't.
When people say that,
no, I don't. It just becomes.
Like, what's the Why would anybody say the Democrat candidate? We wouldn't say the Republic candidate. What? Why would we say that?
Okay, so we put little R's and D's.
Right.
An R is for a Republican.
Right.
The D is for a Democrat.
Right.
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 So,
if you said a member of the Democratic Party,
you're going to say the Democrat candidate.
Right, but that's not grammatically. That's not how you would say it. You would say it's the Democratic candidate, the Republican candidate.
I think the confusion just comes in where, like if I were running as a Republican, I would say I am a Republican candidate.
Right.
I am running as a Republican. If I was running as a Democrat, though, I'd say I am running as, like I just said, a Democrat.
A Democrat.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
As a singular.
As
a Democrat.
Right. But you would not say, I am running as the Democrat candidate. You wouldn't say that. You would say I'm running as the Democratic candidate.
No, I think you were running as a Democrat candidate.
I mean, I don't know that there's any knock either way, but I just this is the first time I've heard this term is in the last like year, and I'm not really sure what that means. You don't want to say Democratic because we're a Democratic country? I don't quite get it.
But we're not a Democratic country. We're a Republic.
Yeah. Right. But most people don't know that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you can call us liberals too.
So do you?
And I want to know what do you think about your vote now for old Trump?
Well, here you go, Pastor.
His days are numbered.
Well, sure, his days are numbered.
From your block.
Sure, his days are numbered. When this term is up, and so
he ain't gonna he he ain't going to make it to the end of his term.
They said that about Biden. They said that about Biden.
Hey, you know what? We got to go to break, but we're going to come back at noon, and we're going to have the conversation. Stay tuned on noon. We're going to have this conversation. Call back in. We'll be back at 12:15. Pastor Greg and Matt will be here. And the Republican, the Democratic, the Democrat, the this, the that, the other, the progressive, the liberal, the conservative, they'll all be here at 12 o'clock. Don't you go anywhere.
Lose their temper sometime, and they get mad. And so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat